Greetings to the broadest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Kermit Gosnell in Philadelphia has given up his right to appeal, and he has agreed to life in prison without the possibility of parole. And so that is a historic time that we are seeing when an abortionist has been convicted of murder. He's killed a lot more kids than the three kids he was convicted on. But this is the beginning of this momentum where the nation is seeing what abortionists do. And we have to make sure that Planned Parenthood is not able to spin this to good abortionists and bad abortionists, because all abortionists are Kermit Gosnell. All abortion mills are the House of Horrors, all of them. Now, today in the New York Times, there is an article, in fact, quite an ironic title: "In Abortion Protest, Which to Protect? Which to Protect, Children or Speech?" And that's just amazing, because the goal of the abortion protest is to protect children. This article is about, let me see the lead here, Kenneth T. Scott opposes abortion, and he says so in public. Sometimes he holds up large pictures of aborted fetuses. Sometimes he makes his point near churches, and that's because there are churches who advocate the dismembering of children in the mother's womb. And that certainly is the antithesis of what a Christian church should do. Jesus Christ especially loved children, the innocence of children. In the studio, the subject of this New York Times article out today is Kenneth T. Scott. T, what's the T stand for, Ken?
Tyler.
Tyler, Kenneth Tyler Scott. Ken, what an honor to have you in the studio. Today, when this article is out, there is a law professor at the UCLA quoted throughout this article. He is joined with your attorney, Rebecca Messel. You have quite a legal team working for you.
Yes, Bob. It starts with Thomas More Society in Chicago that got behind this, with the head attorney, Tom Brecka.
Yes.
And then Peter Breen helped in the FACE case, along with Rebecca, too, that we had
the FACE case
last
that's
year.
That's pro-life lingo for the freedom of access to clinic entrances. So you and your wife, Ken and Joe Scott, you guys have been fighting at abortion clinic doors for decades, the last line of defense, trying to protect children from being dismembered by Planned Parenthood abortionists.
Speaking of Joe, Joe and Tony have a case that they have been charged
currently
with. Harassment and stalking.
We call it the wild goose case.
Right, and they have a hearing, and they've put in about 20 motions to be heard, but they'll never get that many done on Thursday. If anybody listening now that's
today
in the area.
Today is May 14th, Tuesday. So
yes,
this is when?
May 16th at 1:30 in the afternoon at the new Denver courthouse, and it's in room 3B, if anybody could come and join, we'd appreciate it, or just keep Joe and Tony in prayers over this.
Okay, and so Thursday, this Thursday in 2 days, downtown at the courthouse, it's the newer courthouse, right?
Right. It's just east of Spear, and it's on Koufax, between Koufax and 14th, and it's two blocks from there.
Okay, and give us the time again, because I'd like to go if I'm able to.
It's at 1:30 in the afternoon.
1:30, and folks in the audience could come on out, right? Provide moral support.
We'd appreciate
for
that.
For Joe and for Tony.
Yes.
Massey. And will you be there?
Yes, of course.
Yes.
Along with a bunch of the pro-lifers from the picket line here at Planned Parenthood will be joining us.
And that's the wild goose case, where the wife of a Planned Parenthood security guard says that Joe and Tony in Joe's van followed her like 20 minutes south when they actually left the abortion mill and drove north to go home.
Correct.
The wild goose case. And so that case is amazing. I've read some of the motions. I've seen the police deposition that she gave. It's all just, Ken, it's an unbelievable case of how they use police powers to come after Christians who are trying to save the lives of innocent children.
And the district attorney's office. Only because of them pushing the agenda. And I'm sure, like in the federal FACE case, it's because those people in Washington pushed this agenda also. And there was another case like this that just went on in North Carolina with Flip Benham. And yesterday he just won. So he won his case. So that's big
wasn't
news.
Rebecca Messel involved in that case? Or no,
that one's in North Carolina. That's a different group of
now
lawyers.
There's another one. I had
well, you have Pastor Mark Hulick that's in Wyoming when we were up there. Jackson Hole has the one abortionist.
He got in trouble along with our dear friend from Las Vegas.
Yes.
Chet Gallagher. And Chet, I believe, after that was on this show within, you know, a short time of that. That's where they were denying them basically free speech and
the
exercise of religion. And so that went well, right?
And that happens to be attached to this for our case, showing that with that, it was graphic pictures again being denied and that they won in Wyoming in the Supreme Court. And that's in the attachment on this. And then also now Rebecca is handling.
You're saying an attachment on this New York Times article.
Correct. It's one of the cases that's briefed in showing how that. They supported the graphic.
Case. Yes. I see. I see
and
what you're saying.
On this case, there's lots and lots of liberal lawyers across the country that are part of this with the professor out of CU, that he's a law professor and the head one for First Amendment rights he specializes
Ken,
in.
You and Cliff.
Right. Cliff is, we're the two that are, Cliff Powell and myself, are the two that went forward with this. Your mother was in this case, Bob.
Well, I.
And Joe
I
and seem many
to
others.
Recall that. In fact, Ken, I've been down at this same pro-abortion church. This is St. John's, right?
Yes, it is. Episcopal Church.
Yes. And I've been there, and, you know, as a pastor of Denver Bible Church, I'd have to go early for their early service.
Exactly.
And then I'd have to hurry up and get to Denver Bible Church. But it's radically pro-abortion, pro-homosexual. The kids, if we've seen kids walk by or drive by an abortion protest once, we've seen it 500 times.
Lots and lots.
Never, ever, not one time, ever, for some reason I don't understand, but I've never seen a child react the way they lie in all their briefs. When they say the kids cry, the kids... It's all a lie.
That's all over the country. They use the same lie.
Right. The kids are interested. They want to know, what is this? Why is this? And, you know, what are these people saying? The kids are interested.
Yes.
And we've seen that in every age of child.
When they start getting educated in the schools at the older ages, then they want to say, my rights, my rights, my rights to kill a baby.
Right.
So
that
they're already programmed to say now they don't want to see it because... You know, they don't want to see the graphicness and the truth about it.
Right, exactly. Now, the New York Times says that Mr. Scott, and that would include Cliff Powell, have an impressive array of First Amendment lawyers and scholars. And then they list, and it is an impressive array, including this law professor from UCLA, who is well known as a First Amendment expert. But on the line right now, my producer was able to reach Rebecca Messel, your attorney.
Great.
Rebecca Messel, welcome back to Bob and Yurt Live.
Good afternoon, Bob and Ken.
Thank you for being on the air, Rebecca.
Thank you both.
So, Rebecca, we'd love to get your thoughts on how far this has gone. What has brought it here to this place when the New York Times writes about this today?
Well, first, the credit goes to Ken Scott and Clifton Powell, of course. And Pastor deserves some credit, too. They labored in the vineyard since 2005 and did it on their own for 5 years.
So, yes.
I just can't speak highly enough of their dedication and faith to the cause.
It seems like when pro-lifers don't have attorneys, Rebecca, I've seen, and especially Ken and Joe Scott, and Flip Benham and others, that they have made heroic efforts to defend their rights and to preserve the case and to preserve the opportunity to appeal. It's as though they are attorneys, but they're not, but they're sure trying hard.
Well, I know Ken and Clifton and Joe have learned a lot through many years to the point I took many cues from them and their experience.
But, well, thank you, Rebecca. For all that you've done for us in this case.
Well, it's a privilege. And, you know, these are heroes, Bob, because, now, Ken's not going to claim that, but you know, we do, everybody just does what they can with the resources they've got. And most pro-lifers just don't have resources to go hire attorneys.
Right.
And most attorneys don't have resources to go fight the likes of Ken's experience, the United States government, or a big opponent like he's taken on many times.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a hard, it's been a hard history, but finally, thanks to Professor Volokh out in UCLA at the law school there, he's a First Amendment attorney and a professor. He's written, I think, 5 textbooks on the First Amendment. Hmm. He got wind of this case in Colorado and agreed to do it for free. Hmm. So he's put together a beautiful argument that really should appeal to the United States Supreme Court.
Well, he points out that when Martin Luther nailed his 95 thesis on the door of the church, he said technically that would be trespassing. You know, the nail went into the wood. But what Ken and Cliff Powell have done is they're on the public sidewalk displaying signs. And so this is not trespass. This is purely the God-given right to free speech.
Absolutely. They very carefully obeyed all the laws. And even the court laws, all the different nuances that come out of the courts on these First Amendment cases, they were in compliance with. Mm. So, no, there was no trespass. There was no violation of any ordinance. You know, I always like to point out, we are discussing an after effect of the, you know, Roe versus Wade opinion. Many, many, many Americans have suffered through abortions since 1973, and they do suffer, many, because they felt they didn't have a choice, or they were lied to and they told it wasn't their child. And I've heard it said that it's like backing out of your garage and hearing a thump, and you realize you've just run over your own child. Mm. And so it's important in these discussions about the law and the First Amendment and everything else of why we're engaging in this debate and why it's important for Ken and Clifton and all of us to tell the truth and to try and work to end this horrible public policy.
And that's what they hate, Rebecca. They hate seeing the truth in those pictures, because a picture is worth 1,000 words. And this particular Episcopal church, they ordained a woman priest that was on the board of Planned Parenthood, and that was one of the key things that got us going there a little more to expose it. And then they don't want to show the pictures what they're supporting.
Mm. There's a lot of, oh, what a tangled web we weave, and first we practice to deceive. So, you know, when we dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, I think as the prophets say, you know, we need the light to come upon us to guide our feet into the ways of peace. So what Ken is trying to do, Clifton and all the pro-lifers try to do, is to shine the light of truth on what you're talking about, Ken.
Rebecca,
we're speaking with
Rebecca Messel, the first attorney on this case, after Ken Scott and Cliff Powell worked for 5 years on the case themselves. Rebecca, in the New York Times article today, they mention the graphic photos of whether it's the Civil War or in Abu Ghraib, the prison scandal in Iraq. Of course, Emmett Till from the Civil Rights Movement, the open casket photo that woke up America to the injustice against blacks. Of course, what the Germans did in World War II in the concentration camps to the Jews. So often, it is the photographic evidence of inhumanity and brutality that brings people to a point where the public conscience could kick in and make a difference. And so this battle, this is showing people what abortion is at the heart of the battle to stop the killing.
Absolutely, Bob. And every example that you just gave testifies to the picture is worth 1,000 words, quoting from Ken Scott. He made that argument here in Colorado. You just can't escape the truth that the pictures present. Mm.
Yeah, in fact, quite often the pro-aborts have said to us that the photos are not real. And amazingly, the New York Times did an article, an investigative piece about the typical abortion photos used all over the country, the major ones, the ones that are, have been reproduced 1,000 times over, and they had documented that these are actual photos of children killed by abortionists in abortion clinics.
Well, of course they are. And of course, the opponents or supporters of abortion, of the opponents of life, they have to think of something. Mm. So they come up with a thousand, unfortunately, thousand ways to try and cling to this falsehood that this is not a human person.
And
to the point that you were discussing, people who are out there trying to say after the child is born, they're still not a human person. Mm. Well, this is preposterous.
Yes.
And frightening. It needs to be denounced.
Yes. And that there's an entire movement from the Journal of Medical Ethics to Discover Magazine to the New York Times to a professor up at CU in Boulder, Peter Singer. It just goes on and on. Those who are willing to advocate for the killing of babies after they're born. And so what Gosnell did, he's now been convicted, 3 counts of murder, convicted. He'll spend his life in prison. We actually have many voices on the left, pro-abortion voices, defending the very behavior that Gosnell was convicted of murder for. And even the president of the United States, Barack Obama, refused to support the Born Alive Infant Protection Act because he didn't want abortionists to have to be held accountable if they go ahead and let those kids die or kill them, as has been happening for decades.
And the pictures that were just used in the trial with Kermit Gosnell are even more horrific than the ones we use, and they're now finally putting them on television to show how that you have a child with that's late stages. Yes, and you see hair on the baby's head, and you see him cut the back of the neck, and it's actually in the photo a large baby with his sliced neck torn apart.
Well, there's a baby, Ken. Maybe you could help me remember the name of this baby. The baby's photo has been shown all over America by pro-lifers at abortion mills. I think it's baby David, late-term abortion. Rebecca, the first time I ever spoke to a group about why we as Christians need to fight to stop abortion, I had a large poster of baby David. And there's evidence. I spoke to a medical doctor about this photo. And he said there seems to be evidence that baby David was born alive, and in order to kill him, the abortionist literally ripped the umbilical cord out of his body, tearing away part of his skin, and that's what killed baby David. Also cut off part of his buttocks.
Baby David is actually one that has the head ripped off, Bob.
Oh, so
and it's 7.5 months. Yes.
Okay, so do you know which baby?
I don't know
I'm
which one you're talking to.
I'll try to find that out and put that on in our show summary today.
Okay.
But Rebecca, as I was presenting the story of this child and how this child was killed, I was trying to motivate the audience, and I was overcome with emotion to realize that this child was brutally murdered, and this would be defended by millions of Americans.
And it's unbelievable that anyone could defend atrocities like this. We're called, though, to respond with the truth in peace for as long as it takes, and bring back the purpose of the law, which is to protect the defense. And when the law is corrupted, it means it's broken at its core. Core is body, rupture is broken. The law becomes corrupted, and instead of protecting the defenseless, you know, they are left to the devices of those who prey upon them. So that's what we're all called to do in a peaceful way. And that's, I really commend Clifton and Ken, Joe, and yourself, because you've never given up.
Well, thank you. It was years ago on this program that we were selling bumper stickers, visualize abortionist on trial.
Yes.
And we've actually come to the point with Gosnell where we have an abortionist convicted of murder. That's the headline today in the Wall Street Journal, on the cover headline. And, of course, they're talking about these three, but killing the baby in the womb before it takes a breath is the same as killing the baby out of the womb.
Amen.
Killing a little boy or a girl, regardless how old they are, intentionally killing them, dismembering them, burning them with chemical abortifacients, this, every one of those acts is equally egregious. And as soon as you allow people to kill the baby in the womb, no matter how small, they're going to want to kill those babies older and older, and even after they're born, as we see is a virtual movement among pro-choice advocates.
And that's what happened in Germany, Bob, when you had Margaret Sanger, that was with American Eugenics before it was called Planned Parenthood, helped with German eugenics before Hitler, and then during that time period with abortion. And after the people were desensitized, then they'd go after the bedwetters or the people that were blind, the children, and they'd put them to sleep. And then they could go after the elderly, the handicapped, and then you could say Jews are non-people too. So the progress keeps getting worse and worse. Mm-hmm. And you could see the example of that in Germany.
Yes. Ken, I found that photo that I showed many years ago. This photo, do you know the name of this baby right here, 30 weeks gestation?
I don't remember, but they normally say it, baby in the garbage can. We use the big Malachi's, the David, and the baby head typically of the majority, and then baby Rose is the saline burned one.
Yes.
I don't know if the article will say what they call that baby.
Do you know if baby Rose, if Keith Green, that Christian singer who died in the plane crash, was his wife involved in getting that photo?
No, there was a woman in Texas that was told that it's just a blob of tissue, and she went in to have an abortion, and it was at 4.5 months, and she saw the little girl come out, and she says, that's not a blob of tissue, and took the baby and says, I'm going to give it a funeral. She actually took the picture of that so that other women could see it to not believe the lie. And then, by the way, the baby David we're talking about, the head ripped off, she went back to the dumpster behind the clinic in Houston and took the baby that is baby David, and she put those two pictures out for the pro-lifers to see.
Wow.
So,
well,
that was amazing.
In fact, George Tiller, the late-term abortionist from Wichita who was killed, he used to perform, he would have memorials done for the babies that he killed in his abortion mill. I've been there many times. You've been there. Well, he actually authorized photos taken of the babies he would kill in a memorial setting. And one of the mothers actually provided the photos of herself with a father with a baby that was just killed and her handwritten confession. Ken, those are all online. Rebecca.
Joe's the one that talked to that woman and got that photo. That's where it came from.
That's exactly right. Ken Scott's wife. And it's online at thegeorgetillermemorial.com. Rebecca, I don't know if you've ever seen this memorial website. It's a single page.
Well, not the website, but I think I remember the photo that you're talking about. I didn't know it was from Joe.
This little girl, her name is Tess, and the mother writes, she writes a handwritten confession of what she did and how wrong it was to kill her beautiful baby Tess. And you could see they have the picture of the baby in a set up in a memorial, like at a funeral parlor, with a picture of Jesus and a teddy bear and a flower and the father there and the mother. And the whole thing is right online, the GeorgeTillerMemorial.com. People just Google George Tiller Memorial. It's right there.
George Tiller also brought in pastors, and he said, okay, we're going to have pastors baptize your baby after it dies.
They were
pro-abortion pastors, and it was the United Methodists were typically the ones that came in and performed the ceremony, like in an instance like this.
And
to mock
now, the late-term abortionist is now in jail for life. In Boulder, Colorado, there is Warren Hearn.
Yes.
Rebecca, years ago, I interviewed Warren Hearn. He advocated that the government intervene to pull life support from a woman whose husband was fighting to keep her alive. And here he is saying the government has no business in these personal family, private family decisions. And he is advocating the government intervene. Why? To kill this innocent woman. That's why.
Well, two things. That's, again, the corruption of the law, which should be to protect the innocent and the defenseless. And number two, it goes to show that when people think incrementally they can allow killing, there's no containing it. As Ken was describing our recent experience you know, in Nazi Germany, there's no containing killing that's legalized.
Right.
So it's just a natural thing to protect the innocent, and that's the purpose of law, is to make life more valuable.
There's no bottom to that abyss. Yeah, as soon as you say that, oh, it's okay to kill this one innocent child, and we point out, we've been pointing out for 22 years on Bob and Yurt Live, that it's not better when a Republican pro-life politician decides to kill an innocent baby. That's not more okay than when Barack Obama wants to kill an innocent baby. They're both horrific. When did it come to this? The first time a good person said, well, you know what? Okay, go ahead and kill that baby. That's when it came to this.
They generally start with a handicapped or retarded child because they say they're useless. And then they just progress to get worse and worse and worse. And every child is important to God. And that's part of what our message was at St. John's. We were using Bible verses, and they hated Bible verses at St. John's Episcopal as well as anything else.
Well, I met a young man, Steve, who had attended that church for years, and he actually became a Christian because of the protest. He had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. He prayed to become a Christian. Today, he's not only a beautiful Christian, but he's a pro-life activist.
That was one that Joe and I met, and he didn't know that they supported abortion there. We stopped and talked to him and then asked him if he knew where he was going to die today. And we got to say a sinner's prayer, and he's come a long way since we met him.
Amen. Rebecca, thank you so much, Rebecca.
Oh, are we out of time? I had a couple of things.
Real quick.
The importance of witnessing to abortionists. There are many who have converted and people leaving the industry because of they see love and they leave what they're doing.
Even Jane Rowe, Norma McCorvey, right.
Secondly, is the sign of hope. Kim's case, the special on Fox News by Brett Baer. We're seeing signs of hope that maybe this regime of abortion will be coming down in our lifetime.
We hope and
keep
praying.
Thank God. Thank you, Rebecca Messel.
Thank
what
you,
an
Rebecca.
Honor to have Rebecca on and Ken Scott in studio.
Bob.
We have the Brady Amendment. We could be a voice for Brady. Brady was killed by a drunk driver, and the prosecutors said this happened in Longmont. Just 10 months ago, the prosecutor said, well, we can't bring homicide charges because the law doesn't acknowledge that Brady is a person. And that's why we have the whole tragedy, because our law denies that babies in the womb are people.
God bless them.
So thank you, Ken. So check it out, a voiceforbrady.com, or call Colorado Right to Life. They'll get you a petition. God bless you.